The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. And lay it all down again, to hear you say that I'm a friend.
The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on Yah from earth, from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. And this is part three of this discussion. Overview of the presentation. Come to understand that the only reason we exist is to have a deep personal relationship with the Creator. This broadcast continues the discussion of what this entails. We'll start by looking at what is in it for you, and we'll examine what happens if you believe in the ranks in heaven. We'll then look at hell, the place of correction where believers pay the price of unconfessed sin. We will then look at what happens if you do not believe. We'll then start to examine the proposition that this religious stuff is irrational and illogical. Frankly, it's nonsense. And finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So we're continuing with the Article 2014-1101A. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Last week, we discussed the question that there has to be a Creator. This week, we continue this discussion and take it further. Last week, I closed by saying I leave it up to you to deliberate on what I've said out above. Ultimately, I have one piece of advice. If in this broadcast I had any level challenge you to question the possibility of the existence of the Creator, then I challenge you to find a quiet place, get on your knees before him and pray something like, Creator, this man James says that you exist and want a deep personal relationship with me. If this is so, please reveal yourself to me in a way that I can comprehend and take on board. And then see what happens. It may take some time for you to get into a place where you can receive the answer to that prayer, but be alert to what happens. My entire experience of working with him for 30 plus years says that he will answer you, provided you pray sincerely and not in arrogant defiance. In doing that, I would caution you about putting out what sort of colloquially is referred to a fleece, a test or something, saying, if you're real, do this. because you might inadvertently pick something that happens anyway or doesn't happen anyway. Father is not, he's the creator, folks. He's not going to be bullied or dictated to. So he's not going to respond to you, say, well, James says you exist. Now, please let me have a Jaguar in the driveway tomorrow morning. It's not going to work. So I want to move on and pose the question, what is in it for you? Why should you believe? Why should you seek a relationship with the Almighty Creator? Well, simply put, it's in your best interests for eternity. For the next few minutes while you listen to this broadcast, please put aside everything you've heard about him, been taught about him, believed about him, and give me your undivided attention. Consider critically what I have to say, because once you get it, it makes perfect sense, and it cannot be any other way. There's so much wrong thinking and wrong teaching about the Creator. It's no wonder that most people don't believe, because on the one hand, he seems to be completely irrational and unpredictable, and on the other hand, he seems to be actually quite stupid with some of the things that are attributed to him. And so you have a situation where somebody comes to some level of belief, trust and belief, whatever you want to call it, faith, but they've still got a whole lot of baggage and they imagine all sorts of things. They tell you, well, God will do this and God will do that and the Lord will do this and the Lord will do that. And then it doesn't happen. So you say, well, then he's obviously doesn't exist. No, the person who told you to do those things got it wrong, which is why you need to seek a relationship with him in person. And don't believe people who say to you that he stopped speaking. The only reason we exist is so that he could have relationships with us. So why on earth would he not speak to you? It's crazy. He loves you. He wants you to speak to him. If you believe, there's a hierarchy. We're looking at what's in it for you. There's a set of ranks in heaven with rewards that are directly proportionately to how you and I live our lives. If you really serve the Almighty faithfully and become his friend in this life, his agent and representative, doing what he asks of you, you will qualify to sit on a high throne with him for eternity. This is a position of great honor and esteem and great power in heaven, and you will have that status for eternity. Virtually nobody talks about this, folks. But the truth is that there are thrones around his throne, in front of his throne. And you can qualify to sit on one of those thrones, on one of the highest thrones, if you live your life right in his sight. Think about it. You can do all your stuff in this life in order to become rich and famous and what have you, and one day you're going to die and it's all going to be gone. Or you can live your life in such a way that you're building up credit in heaven, and when you die, you will have great esteem and great honor and great power and great authority forever and ever and ever. So it's your choice. You can have a grand time and eat, drink, and be merry in this life. Or you can live your life in a slightly different way and focus on serving Father and do some things that are really pleasing to him. And you can have a huge, huge, huge reward. I can't stress it enough. This is a proving ground, a testing ground. Don't mess it up. On the other hand, if you at some level believe that the Almighty exists or did at some time in your life believe that, but you totally ignore him apart from that, you will find yourself at the opposite extreme, a place called the outer darkness, because it's pitch dark, pitch black. It's also cold and a lonely place. The Almighty refers to it as the trash heap of heaven. You're here because you ignore the Almighty all your life, and He will ignore you for eternity. You will have no contact with Him. You will have no access to the place of pleasure and privilege in heaven. It's not a place, nice place to be. And it said that you will weep and you will wail and you will gnash your teeth forever. I don't think you want to go there. So I suggest that number one, you believe, and number two, you make a serious effort to serve Him and develop a relationship with Him. Now, this is not about Him being ugly. When He set out this whole creative process, He did not expect there to be people who would believe in Him one day and then ignore Him for the rest of their lives. He just didn't allow for that. So when that started happening, there was nowhere else in heaven left except the outer darkness. And there are millions and millions and millions of people weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth forever and ever and ever in the outer darkness because once upon a time they believed. And there's a huge judgment here for these evangelists who go out, get thousands of people to pray some simple prayer, and then leave them to their own devices. If you're one of those, you've got a nasty shock coming from you for you on the day of judgment. So we have a continuum. Range, if you have at some level believed. The outer darkness, a worker of iniquity, is described above, the trash heap of heaven, totally disregarded. Then you get the foolish virgins, people who knew that the Almighty existed and served Him at some elemental level, but failed to do His will. Most pew warmer churchgoers will end up here. Remember that He created you to have a deep personal relationship with Him, not a relationship with your church or your pastor or your priest or your imam or your rabbi or whatever. Such people are not filled with His Spirit because they never worshipped Him intimately enough. So there's a sexual metaphor at play here. So a foolish virgin is somebody who believed at some level, did a bit, and there can be people who did a lot. There's a chap in the Foolish Virgins in Heaven who's reportedly was viewed as a great reformer, and yet he didn't get beyond the Foolish Virgins. He was never filled with the Spirit of the Creator. So there's a piece you come to believe, and then you worship Father, you make love to Him in a sense, and you ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. And then you're no longer a virgin. But if you never ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, if you never receive that infilling, if you never have Him come into you, you're a virgin. And you're going to sit right at the back of the throne room of heaven. You'll still be in the throne room. You'll still have some esteem and some glory, but it'll only be pretty played stuff. Then there are the wise virgins, people who prepared themselves to serve the Almighty but stopped at that point. They did something material to serve Him but not go far and did not commit deeply. And then you get the adulterous wives, people who filled with the Spirit of the Almighty but who worshipped Jesus and or the Bible, and or the Quran, and or Muhammad, and or the Torah, and or Moshe, etc. And the pastor, and the priest, and the imam, and the church, and the whatever. So they got filled with Father's Spirit, but they directed most of their worship to Jesus or the Bible or whatever. If you put Muhammad on a pedestal and regard people who speak ill of Him as blasphemy, it's making Muhammad equal with Yah. Don't do it. Ditto the Quran. The Quran is just a book, like the Bible is just a book, like the Torah is just a book, like the whatever is just a book. There is no book on earth that is totally inspired and totally given by Yah. It's all stuff that's been accumulated collated and presented by human beings, and it all contains error at some level, and it's wise not to set too much reliance on any book or any human being, be it Moshe, be it Yeshua, be it Muhammad, or anyone else, be it the Pope, be it Martin Luther, whoever, or your local assembly leader, whatever group you belong to. Don't do it. It's called idolatry. It's spiritual fornication. Then the next step into the throne room are the wise stewards. So we're moving from the outer reaches of the throne room towards the throne. So as we get sort of into the middle of the throne room, we get the wise stewards, people who knew the Almighty existed and at some basic level used that knowledge wisely and responsibly. So this is a group of people that are significant in a way that the ones I've just spoken about are not. And then you get good and faithful servants. So we're getting really close to the thrones now. People who really made an effort to serve the Almighty within the constraints of what they were capable of doing. But they're still servants. It's possible to become his friend. And then you can sit on a high throne forever and ever. But if you believe, if you're filled with Father's Spirit, and you're obedient and faithful, and do things day by day to advance his kingdom, to advance his objectives, you'll make it to the point of good and faithful servant. And in fact, that's getting to be a worthwhile achievement. So if you're a person who's moderately results-oriented, moderately goal-setting, goal-getting, high achiever, you don't really want to get to heaven at less than good and faithful servant, to be quite honest. And I'm not sure you want to even only get to that point. But you're getting into a realm where there are not many people on earth who fall into that category. A few thousand. But it's there for you. Just recalibrate your thinking. Then we get the overcomers who are on low thrones. Those who actively sought to serve the Almighty, to conquer sin in their lives, to actively do what they were called to do, and in the process overcame all the obstacles. This is a place of high honor and power. This is the minimum target to aim for if you are a high achiever. And I can't stress enough all the underachieving, depressing, suppressing stuff that is taught by organized religion, which brings people into subjection to their assembly leader, etc., is not Father's will. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And then we get friends. So moving up, so we've got a cascade of thrones. The overcomers are on the lower level. The friends are on the higher level. This is first prize. This is what you were created to be, a friend of the Almighty, one who has dedicated their life to building relationship with the Almighty and doing his will. And then finally, a general, a friend who's actively gone out and battled the forces of darkness to deliver victory to Father, initiated revival and led it, and so forth. Very few people make it to that category. Right now, there's one very, very difficult, but very, very worthwhile. So if you're the sort of person who goes all out to make a difference, you might want to think about, you want to make a difference in this life and have a mediocre position for eternity, or do you want to do something that's really honorable and pleasing to Father and make a difference in this life, but in a spiritual level, not in a worldly level? And maybe you'll do both, because if you're close to him, he'll give you wisdom and promote you in your career. So with each step in the above progression, you will receive greater esteem and honor, higher rank and greater authority and power in heaven. In this context, the Almighty has said, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I'll give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted? So think about it, folks. It's all very practical. It's all very neatly ordered. Father's not going to give you a whole lot of esteem and nice stuff in heaven if you've really made very little effort to serve him. Why would he? You wouldn't do it if you were in his position. Why should he do it? And this is one of the things that Satan has been so effective in getting religion to do, is drowning people in rules and regimentation and ritual and submit to those in authority over you, the elders in the church, whatever you call them, in the mosque or the synagogue or whatever, the elders, the leaders, the whatever. So you do submit to the rabbi or the imam or the pastor or the priest or whatever, and you don't get into relationship with Father, and you're going to be so disappointed when you come before the judgment seat. And then hell, the place of correction where believers pay the price of unconfessed sin. There's a further element to all of this. The man Yeshua, who you probably know as Jesus, died to provide a simple and easy to apply mechanism for repenting of sin. Think about what he went through. He was betrayed by one of his closest allies. He was mocked. They spat at him. They plucked his beard out. They beat him with staves, etc. They dragged him to a mock trial. They put a crown of thorns on his head so the blood was running down. They flogged his back till the flesh was falling off and he was in absolute agony and blood was streaming down his back. They forced him to carry the stake, a great big tree trunk. And he fell and he couldn't do it and somebody else had to take it for him. And then they strung him up on that stake with his arms above his head and his feet below, and they drove two steel rough spikes. They found some of the spikes that were used in those things. They weren't nice polished nails like you buy in the hardware shop. They were rough steel spikes. They hammered them through his wrists or through his hands and through his feet. And he hung there, gasping for breath, pulling himself up so he could breathe. The pain was so great that he sunk down. The pain in his feet was so great that he pulled himself up, and he went on like that for something like 3 or 4 hours until he died, until Father took his spirit and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my beloved, why have you forsaken me? And he died in agony to provide you and me with a simple mechanism for repenting of sin. So to the extent that you avail yourself of this mechanism simply by praying sincerely, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I confess that I've sinned in such and such a manner. I deeply repent. I choose to turn around. In the name of Yeshua, I ask you to forgive me. Your sins are dealt with as you deal with them. But insofar as Yeshua died a terrible death to provide the simple means of deliverance from sin, you will pay a terrible price for all sin that you fail to confess in this life. There is a place called hell, and contrary to widespread belief, it is not a place for unbelievers, it is for believers. It is a place where believers will be tormented and tortured in direct proportion to the severity and duration of every unconfessed sin at the moment of death. Visit the page on hell on the website for a number of detailed accounts of what this place is like. We're talking about horrible stuff here, folks, but you've just heard me describe how Yeshua was tortured and tormented and beaten and how he died and the agony he went through just so that you could simply take a cup of wine or grape juice and say, Father, I thank you in the name of Yeshua that you forgive me my sin. All you've got to do is confess it. Before, you had to get an animal, get the priest to slaughter the animal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeshua died to fulfill that so that you didn't need to do it. If you do not believe, well, that's fine, I hear you say, but I do not believe. So then what? All of what I just said is irrelevant, isn't it? Well, it's fairly obvious if it's not, is it not? The Almighty has said of you who don't believe, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So simply put, my friend, if you don't believe, you're not going to heaven. And there's a problem. That when Father designed this whole thing, he didn't allow for unbelievers because it just didn't compute. It wasn't part of his model to create these intelligent human beings to have relationship with him. So where are you going? It's not about good. It's about relationship. There are a hang of a lot of good people on the earth, but they don't have a relationship with Father. If you do not believe the Creator exists, you commit the ultimate sin, unbelief, and you fail to qualify to compete in the race. So if you do not believe, no matter how good you are, no matter how many good works you've performed, no matter how much you've given to charity or even the church, you will not qualify to enter heaven. It is that simple and that brutal. So what will happen to you when you die as an unbeliever? Well, it so happens that there really are ancestor spirits, also known as demons, also known as ghosts. When you die, a messenger, in other words, an angel, will take you to the gates of the lake of fire and brimstone and hell and explain to you that if the adversary, Satan, loses the contest, you will be cast into that fire, and in a moment of torment and terror, you will be utterly consumed by the fire and cease to exist. You will also be advised that should the adversary, Satan, win the contest, you will remain on earth for eternity as an ancestor spirit, demon, and that your calling is now to help the adversary to win. So, folks, there's some rough stuff here. You'll also be shown heaven, and it'll be explained to you that by failing to believe, you failed to qualify to enter heaven. It is likely that at that point you will be extremely upset and angry and dismayed. It will also be explained to you that in terms of the rules of engagement, you are not permitted to inform those that you have left behind of their error, and certain other rules will be explained. You will also be advised that you now report to the Council of Masterminds, the demonic junta that rules the earth in association with the adversary, Satan, that you will be brutally tortured if you step out of line, but if you promote the agenda of the satanic realm, you will be rewarded with promotion and positions of greater power and authority. There's a catch there, folks. Over 100 billion human beings have died in unbelief to date. So there is a hang of a lot of competition. The high ranks in the satanic kingdom. There are corresponding ranks in the satanic kingdom to those in Yah's kingdom. However, since Satan has done such a good job of getting people not to believe and to sin, the higher ranks in the satanic kingdom are jam-packed full. There's almost no room for expansion, and there's almost no room for promotion. So if you're a high achiever on earth and you die, you are going to be so frustrated because you're going to be just one of the little minions, has no say in what's going on, and might just get to torment somebody if you were particularly good at sinning in some way. It's so important, folks. There are a lot of people that go around saying that if you don't believe, you'll go to hell. And intuitively, somehow, those who don't believe get that that's a lie. So they mock and they think they're free. If you understand what I'm talking about, you are going to think carefully, I hope, about the rest of your life. So as I've said, you'll be taken to heaven, shown that you what you're missing. You'll then be returned to your corpse. If you've died in a remote area, your spirit will remain at the place of death forever, or until an agent of the adversary collects you, which is probably quite unlikely. So if you drowned at sea, or you were taken in an avalanche or an earthquake or a volcanic eruption or a plane that crashed or whatever, you're probably just going to be stuck where you died forever, or at least till the end of the contest. If you died in a more settled environment, died at home, well, then maybe one of your children or grandchildren will come and embrace your corpse. And if you've got your wits about you and you understand what's going on, you'll jump off your corpse onto them while you can, because you will be inanimate. You will not be able to move around. You'll need a human body or an animal or a messenger or angel to move you around. But there are not enough messengers available to transport every, well, there are enough messengers, but they've got other things to do. They're not interested in mediocre, average sinners like the majority of people. So you're likely to be stuck on your corpse, in your grave, underground, with a rotting corpse forever, or at least until the day of judgment, at which point you'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed in a moment of torment and terror, if Satan loses the contest. If Satan doesn't lose the contest, you will be stuck in your grave forever. Or you'll go onto the crematorium oven and you'll hang around there. If you score better and you've been a reasonably effective sinner, then possibly in a hospital or a morgue or a burial society or whatever, a Satan servant, a witch or a warlock or Satanist, who is a doctor or a nurse or a whatever, may lift you off the corpse and send you for training so that you can then be sent to get other people to sin. So if you're a notable sinner, you may get a chance at being on somebody else and teaching them how to sin the way you sinned. So you might just get up from the first level of rank, the so-called white witches. Because there are billions of good demons, good ghosts. You may have seen the childhood comics, the good ghosts and the bad ghosts. It really is like that way. There are billions and billions and billions of good people who died as unbelievers, who good ghosts. You get good witches, white witches. But they don't feature in the echelons of rank in the satanic realm. They're just there because there's nowhere else for them to go, and they're a thorn in the side of Yah, and they're a thorn in the side of Satan, and they've just got a miserable existence. And if you were the chief executive of a multinational corporation who screwed around, messed people's lives up, and did things, you might find yourself in that position, and you might just regret it. And you're going to have a hang of a long time to regret it. As with heaven, there's a progression of rank associated with power and authority and prestige. See the article, Where Are You Going, on the website for more information if this interests you, if you want to be a high achiever in the satanic realm. Be aware that high rank in the kingdom of the adversary, Satan, is associated with gross evil, human sacrifice, drinking human blood, eating human flesh, torture, etc., murder. If you regard yourself as a good person, expect to find the place of unbelief an uncomfortable place to spend eternity. What am I talking about? I came across a lady who was a very powerful servant of Father a few years ago, and she had led the chief witch of France to salvation, to relationship with Father. And she had to get this woman to deal with all the stuff. She'd murdered and eaten her parents. She'd had three children, murdered and eaten them. In order to rise up in the ranks of the satanic kingdom. I happened to be in a restaurant once, and a man and woman came and sat down at the table opposite us, and the woman just ordered French fries. It's a bit strange. Father said to me, she works in an abortion clinic. She's been eating and drinking human flesh and human blood all day. She can't face anything more than chips, and she's going to take this guy home and have sex with him, and as he orgasms, she's going to kill him, because there's power that happens if you kill a human being at the moment of sexual climax. It's horrible stuff, folks. But if you are an unbeliever, that is what you're joining yourself to. If you're a good person, you don't want to go there. I can't stress it enough. You can be part of the kingdom of love and great beauty, or you can be the other way that I've just described. Now, should Satan win the contest, and right now he's winning it hands down, then he'll reign on earth for eternity, and you as an unbeliever will serve him on earth for eternity. Expect to see the world degenerate into the worst excesses of the Dark Ages, of Africa, of primitive tribes. And you will have no option but to participate in whatever manner is dictated to you. There's an added catch. Should the adversary win, the Almighty Creator Yah will withdraw totally from the earth and all life will cease. So unless you have progressed to a sufficiently senior position in the hierarchy of Satan to have your own messenger or angel to transport you, you will be stuck in the location where the corpse of your host fell, and you will stay there forever. It's not an attractive prospect to my way of thinking. And so what you will have then is the demonic masterminds taking sides against each other, fighting with each other. And since they can't kill each other, it's just going to be an ongoing brutal mess. And you're just going to sit there wherever you stuck, see whatever goes past, think about all the things that you did wrong forever and ever and ever. Folks, this is heavy stuff. You don't want to go there. You really don't want to go there. If you are thinking now, "Phew, didn't realize it was like that," get on your knees right now and say, "Father, I believe you exist. Please help me to become your servant in the name of Yeshua." And email me and I'll help you. Go to the website. There's lots to help you there. So, to step back, you might be hearing what I've said and you're going to say, well, this religious stuff is irrational and illogical, and frankly, it's nonsense. Because the fact of the matter is that if you are a serious thinking person and you go into the average church or mosque or synagogue, you're going to say, you know what, this is a bunch of old cobblers. I don't want to believe in this. I can't believe in this. It doesn't make any sense. And you'd be absolutely correct. Almost all that organized religion teaches is false, it's irrational, it's illogical, and it's nonsense. For example, the Bible is not the living word of God or any such thing. It's a book written by humans. It contains error, and the Almighty hates it because people turn away from seeking relationship with him to worship the book. Consider Bible church, Bible study, Bible school. All are an abomination in the sight of the Almighty. He desires a deep personal relationship with each and every one of us, and the Bible gets in the way of that. So does the Quran, so does the Torah. I know somebody on Facebook who is stuck on Torah observance, including the 630 mitzvot, the 613 little laws that the Jews have derived out of the five first books of the Bible, which they call the books of Moses, which they're not. And that gets in the way of relationship with Yah. Father wants a relationship with you so that he can lead you. And we'll talk more about this next week. We're out of time for today. And I'm just going to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? And this is the big one. Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, thin or fat, tall or short, Indian, African, Asian, European, Caucasian, whatever, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, whatever, Satanist, witch, warlock. It doesn't matter who you are right now. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, wants a deep personal relationship with you. And he wants it today, and he will meet you wherever you are right now. Just get on your knees and say, Father Yah, I believe you exist. I ask you to forgive my sin of unbelief. I ask you to come in and live in me. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. And I ask you to help me to draw close to you and live a life that is pleasing to you so that I may qualify to sit on a high throne with you for eternity. And then email me or go onto the website. There's an article, What to Do on First Belief. There's an article on Seven Components of Drawing Close. There's lots of information there. If this is your first time joining me, I'm going to carry on in a few minutes with a bit of other information which may be useful. If you are a regular listener, I'm just going to wrap up. So I'd like to thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James at endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I will connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. if you're a believer and you've listened to this series, we've talked a bit about unbelief tonight, and maybe a bit too much for you. So I apologize for that, but I felt tonight I really needed to speak to those who don't believe. And I hope it's given you ammunition to use in sharing with those who don't believe. I hope also that as you think about everything that I've just shared with you, you will realize that it makes a lot more sense than what the purveyors of religious, whatever you want to call it, are dishing up in the churches and the synagogues and the mosques and the temples and so forth. So with that, I'm going to say to those of you who've been around for a while, thank you so much for listening. Good night. And those of you who have joined for the first or second time, please hang on. I've got a bit more to share with you. So in closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. The End Time Issue version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page. Recordings, that's the entire Bible with major errors corrected, errors that are in just about every translation. The entire Bible is available there, plus versions to download, PDF and DocX. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are on the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular emailed articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, I hope that helps you. Thanks for listening. I hope to see you again next week. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to speak to you about the reality that the Creator desires friends above all things, and that being good is insufficient. It's relationship that counts. The real reason this universe, this solar system, this planet, the plants, the animals, and human beings exist is that the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth desires friends. If you're not seeking to become His friend, you're missing the point of your existence. And if you're an unbeliever, you're going to end up with a very unpleasant situation when you die. You're not going to go to hell. You're going to stay on earth as an ancestor spirit, a demon, a ghost, stuck on your corpse in all likelihood. Not a pleasant place to be. Please listen to my broadcast on w4cy.com radio or talk4tv.com and visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Good day.